Excellent. Well, good afternoon, and as Angie and Justin said, welcome. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and we are really excited to have you as we continue this conversation, The Love Project. If you haven't been with us for the past couple weeks, I highly encourage you to go back and to watch or listen online. As we've been looking at how Jesus, when he steps into our story, and he begins to shift our vision of love. We have an idea of what love looks like and what we're pursuing, and Jesus steps in and says, I know you think love looks like that, but it actually looks like this. I know you think love works like that, but it actually works like this. And we've seen some really powerful ways that he shifts that vision, how our vision of love is spontaneous and his vision of love is intentional, how our vision of love serves us, his vision of love serves the one that he loves. And to be honest with you, we are just getting started, the beauty of how Jesus does this in our lives and the power of how Jesus does this in our lives. Today, I want to take you to a really interesting passage. It's found in the letter to the Hebrews. And as the author is writing to the Hebrew church, he's trying to help them understand how they experienced Jesus in light of what they knew about God before, in light of what they experienced about God before in their Hebrew faith tradition. And as he's walking them through that, he says something really interesting. He says something that should make us pause. That really, when you look at it closer, should blow our minds. Let me just take you to the passage. It's found in Hebrews chapter 4. And he says this. He says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, and he's talking to them because they understood God as someone that you approach through a priest, because in the Hebrew tradition, that's how you approach God. You had to go through a priest, and throughout this entire book, he's saying, no, you don't have to do that anymore. You can go directly to God because of what Jesus has done, that Jesus is the final and the ultimate high priest, and he's talking to them about how he's loved them and how now they can have confidence in going before God. And he says, okay, since you now have this high priest, that is Jesus, the Son of God. He says, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. And then he says this. Listen. He says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. He says, you didn't understand something about Jesus. You didn't understand something about about your high priest, Jesus. He says, he understands you. He sympathizes with your weakness. He's been tempted the same way that you've been tempted. And then he continues. He says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. He says, you can go to God with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. He says, you can go to God in confidence and you're going to find in him mercy and help. You're going to find grace. Why? Because your high priest, Jesus, understands you. He's gone through what you've gone through. He's experienced what you've experienced. He sympathizes with you because of the fact that he's experienced what you've experienced. And this isn't the only time that he says this. It's actually a theme throughout the letter to the Hebrews. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 2:18. It says, since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. And throughout the entire book, he's talking to them about, listen, you can have confidence when you go before God, and you can go directly to God. You don't have to go through a priest. And as he's explaining this to them, he explains to them this incredible way that God has loved them, this incredible aspect of God's love for them. He says, you need to understand something about Jesus. Jesus understands you. And not only that, Jesus went to great lengths to make sure that you know that he understands. He went to great lengths to make sure that you know that you understood. And in this moment, he's calling us to this aspect of God that, for many of you, you've never heard this before. He calls us to this aspect of God's love, that part of how God has loved you is that he's gone to incredible lengths for you to know you understood. I understand. I understand what it's like. I understand what it's like to go through that. I understand what it's like to face that temptation. I understand. And in this moment, he's communicating this truth to us about Jesus' love. But he's also at the same time, again, he's shifting our vision of love. He's shifting our vision of love. And he's saying, Jesus' love, it prioritizes, and it's important in Jesus' vision of love for the other person to be understood. Our vision of love is very interesting when it comes to understanding. Because in our vision of love, we expect understanding. We expect the other person to understand us. More specifically, we expect magical understanding. We don't just expect understanding. We expect magical understanding. And we think that love is magical understanding. And love produces magical understanding. And so if you loved me, you would understand. If you really loved me, you would understand me. What do you want for your birthday? If you love me, you'll know. You saw it in the video. I've been dropping hints. It's one of the most terrifying things in the world. You're supposed to be able to read my mind. And if you loved me, you'd be able to read my mind. We have a vision of love that expects magical understanding. And we become frustrated and angry with one another when the other person doesn't magically understand us. We haven't communicated well to them. We haven't been clear with them. We just expect magical understanding. And we assume magical understanding from our perspective. And so they begin to share something with you. And as soon as they begin to share something with you, you think, oh, I know where this is going. I understand. You haven't listened to them at all. But I understand. I understand. And we assume magical understanding from our perspective. Oh, I can't believe you're going to, I know exactly what you're trying to do here. I know. And we say these things to one another. We actually say them out loud because we assume, no, I understand you. I don't need you to go into these details. I understand. We expect magical understanding from them. We assume magical understanding from us, and our relationships are full of misunderstanding. And Jesus comes in and says, it matters to me, which is, it's unbelievable. Jesus comes in and says, it matters to me that you're understood, that you know that I understand. It's so different from our vision of love, because at its core, our vision of love doesn't really even care about understanding. Most of the time, we don't care about understanding, we just care about being right. Doesn't really matter if I understand you, I'm right. It doesn't really matter what you have to say, I'm right. It doesn't really matter what it is that you're going to share, because I'm right. I don't need to listen to you. I'm right. This should blow our minds. The God of the universe, who is always right, cares to understand you. Why? Why did it matter? For some of you, you don't believe this about God. As a matter of fact, for some of you, you've been taught the opposite of this. You've been taught that God just is right and he doesn't care about understanding you. That's not Jesus. Jesus came and he lived the life that he lived because it mattered to him to understand you and for you to know that you're understood. How crazy is that? Well, that's a very different kind of love. Jesus sees understanding as an act of love. Let me just let that sink in. Jesus sees understanding as an act of love. Not just as a piece to the puzzle that allows you to love later. No, no, no. Understanding itself is an act of love. I love you, so I'm going to make sure that you're understood. One of the ways that you love is to understand the other person. For them to know that they're understood. How many of you have ever been in the midst of a conflict and said, I'm going to love this other person really well by understanding them? Not many of us. Why? Because we don't see it as an act of love. It might be a necessary means to an end, but what if our vision of love is wrong? What if understanding in and of itself is an act of love? There's something inside of us that understands this about love. It's why when you were a teenager, you didn't feel loved. And what did you say? No one understands me! You don't understand what it's like to be 15! A huge aspect of love is understanding. And Jesus, again, is stepping into our story. He's stepping into our story, and he's shifting our vision. He's saying, you thought love looked like this, but it actually looks like this. You thought understanding was just a means to an end, but it's actually one of the ways that you powerfully love the people around you. So if that's true, how do we practice that? Because again, we're not just trying to shift this theoretically. We're trying to shift this practically. So if that's true, if one of the ways that we love one another is to understand, then how do we practice that? How do we live that out? I want to take you to a passage where I believe God's calling us specifically to that. It's found in James chapter 1. It says this. It says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. He says, I want for you to be quick to listen. Now, listening is something that we are very bad at. Almost all of us are very poor listeners. And when you look at that passage, almost all of us reverse that order. And we are very quick to speak, but we are very slow to listen. And some of you may be sitting here and say, no, I'm slow to speak. I talk very seldom. And that's true out here, but in here, you are talking the moment that they share with you. This isn't, being slow to speak is not just about what comes out of your mouth, it's about what happens in your head. And for some of you, your friend shares that with you, or the person that you're dating shares that with you, or your spouse shares that with you, and after the first line, you're already beginning to formulate your response. You're thinking through, how am I going to come back to this? How am I going to respond to this? And you're preparing for your moment when you are going to speak truth into this person's life, and you haven't listened at all. The entire time that you've been preparing, they've been talking, and you didn't hear a word that they said. You're just getting ready for your response. And in this passage, James is saying, if you're going to love well, you have to understand, which means you have to be quick to listen. That means you have to get rid of the assumption of understanding. The reason why you're doing that is because you assume magical understanding. You think you know. You think you understand. That's why you don't listen. I don't need to listen. Why do I need to listen? I already understand. I know what you're going to say next. I know where this is going. I have magical understanding. That's kind of me. I just have this magical power. I have magical understanding. I understand you, and so therefore, I can respond without ever listening to what it is that you have to say. You have to get rid of your assumption of understanding. This looks different for all of us. For some of you, it looks, you're the fixer. You fix everything. People come to you and you try to fix their problems. That's what you do. And so the moment that your friend shares that with you, you don't listen to everything that's happening. No, no, no. Okay, how do I fix this? How do I fix this? And you're putting together all the pieces of how you're going to impart your wisdom to this person and fix the problem. Some of you think that the world comes to you to fix their problems. This is what you think. You think that your friend and the people that you're dating and the person that you're married to, hopefully you're not dating and married, but you think that... You think that all of these people come to you to fix their problems. Listen, I know this is going to be devastating for you, but you need to hear this. No one wants your advice. No one wants your advice. No, I've never met a wife who's like, man, I've got this problem in my life. I'll bet my husband can fix it. I've never met a wife who said that. Never. And I'd be willing to bet your friends aren't saying, you know what, I got this problem. I bet Bob could fix it. No. Why do we share things with one another? Because we think the other person has the answer? No, because we want someone to understand us. What do you want? You want someone who can sympathize with you. When they share it with you, it's because they want you to understand, for you to sympathize with you. Exactly what Jesus says he does for you. They're not sharing it so you can fix it. They want to be known. They want to be understood because it's a huge part of how we love one another. For others, you're not the fix-it person. You're the analyzer, and so you're constantly trying to figure out what's happening, and you're putting together the pieces to the puzzle in your mind, and so they share something with you, and immediately you're down the road. I know where this is going. I know where this is headed, especially if you've been in conflict with this person before this happens, where you think, oh, this is a rerun. We already had this conversation. I know what comes next. I know what you're going to say next. I know what it is that you're trying to do. And there's all sorts of different things that factor into this. Oftentimes, especially inside of conflict, we care more about winning than we do about thriving. So rather than hearing out the other person, we're trying to win the argument. Or we're trying to win in the situation. This was a big one for me. I grew up, I wanted to be a lawyer. I always wanted to be a lawyer. I love to argue. I'll argue about anything. I don't care what it is. I don't care if I'm right. I love to argue. As a matter of fact, in preparing for being a lawyer, they used to make you argue things that you knew were wrong, but you just had to get good at arguing. And then I got married and found out that doesn't work well in a marriage. A couple years into our marriage, Anna, we're in the midst of a conflict, and she said to me, you don't really care about what's true in this situation. You just want to argue. You just enjoy arguing. She didn't just say it to me once. She said it several different times. My wife has taught me a tremendous amount about myself. And I didn't realize that I was doing it, but she was right. I didn't really care. I just wanted to argue. It was fun. What, you don't enjoy this as much as I enjoy it? She's like, no, I don't enjoy it at all. But I just wanted to win. I didn't want to thrive. How many times have you been in a conflict? And for you, it's just been about winning. And you walked out of the conflict and you won. But your relationship was the worst for it. What do you want more? You want to win or you want to thrive? When you walk into it with the assumption of understanding, you start putting together the pieces and putting together your argument. The other thing that happens when you do that is you miss out on the small growth that takes place in the lives of the people around you. Change in our lives doesn't happen overnight. It happens through a series of really small steps. And if that person begins to share with you and you jump into, I already know this, I assume that I understand, you don't actually hear them out. You don't get to hear about the small growth that's taking place. And especially if it's in conflict, what you do is you ignore it and you push them right back to where they were. Instead of being able to listen to it and realize, okay, we still have a problem here, but man, there's been a little bit of growth and we can celebrate that. We have to learn how to listen, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Don't buy into the trap that you understand before you listen. Don't start speaking in your mind before you actually hear them out. When you give up the assumption of understanding, not only are you slow to speak, but you also you become obsessed with clarification. You care deeply about clarification. In other words, I'm not going to assume that I understand. I want to clarify this with you. I want to understand you, so I care about clarification. I have a friend, Justin. He was on stage. He's an elder here. He was on stage earlier. He walked you through silence. He has taught me this in such a powerful way. Because if you ever have a conversation with Justin, you'll experience this. He cares deeply about clarification. Now, if you're going to have a conversation with Justin, you need to schedule a little more time than with just about anyone else in your life. Here's why. Justin constantly repeats back to you what you just said. So you will say something to him, and he will respond. And this is the way he says it. He actually says it like this. He says, okay, what I hear you saying is, and then he repeats back what you just said. And sometimes it can be a little frustrating because you think, yes, that's what I just said. Other times it can be frustrating because he says it better than you said it. And you're like, why couldn't I have said it that way? But he cares deeply about clarification. And he's constantly trying to clarify what you meant. Not what you said, what you meant, because he wants to understand you. You know what else you experience when you have a conversation with Justin? You feel loved. Why? Because understanding is a huge aspect of love. I can tell you right now whether or not you care about clarification. Here's what you watch for. Do the people around you feel like they have to say it right the first time? Do the people in your life feel like they have to say it right the first time? If they feel like they have to say it right the first time, it's because they know you don't care about clarification. And if they say it wrong, you don't really care about what they meant. You just care about what they said. Some of you have this conversation constantly in your relationships, and you say to one another, well, you said, remember when you said? No. You said, and they're trying to clarify it for you, but you're holding them to what they said. And like a lawyer, you win the argument on a technicality, and the other person isn't understood at all. What good is that? Did you no good whatsoever? But you don't create space for clarification. Almost none of us say what we mean the first time that we say it. Almost none of us say it the way we want to say it the first time we say it. We don't know. If you want proof of this in my life, just come to all three services one Sunday. It changes drastically from the first to the third. When you care about understanding, you create space for clarification. It doesn't really matter what you said. What matters is what you meant. What do you mean? What did you actually mean? Well, I didn't really mean it like that. I meant it like this. No, I can't really put it into words. You create space for that. Most of us create no space for understanding. We're quick to speak, slow to listen. We don't care about clarification. So we spend about 5% of the time interacting with what the problem is and about 95% of the time trying to resolve the problem. The problem is we're oftentimes trying to resolve a problem that doesn't exist. But because we didn't listen well, because we didn't seek to clarify, we're working on a problem that's not even real. And we're talking about two different things. The more time you spend in understanding and clarification, the less time it will take to find the resolution. But you have to give up. You have to give up the assumption of understanding. And to go into it, when you step into conflict, The feeling you should feel is curiosity. Curiosity. I want to understand. What's happening here? What's at the heart of this? I don't just want to understand the facts of what's happening. I want to understand your heart. I want to understand what you mean. I want to understand what makes you tick. If you will walk into conflict with curiosity instead of the assumption of understanding, which leads to anger, it changes everything. All of a sudden, you're able to walk out of conflict understanding one another better. Conflict makes you better, makes you stronger, as opposed to weaker. But you have to shift. We have to shift our vision of love. We have to value understanding. Quick to listen, create space for clarification. You have to be careful about how you engage the conversation, because it's not just about understanding the other person, it's about the other person knowing that they're understood. So therefore, you have to be careful about your body language. Some of you have terrible body language, and no one has ever told you this. You need to be careful about your body language. You need to be aware of your body language. Because some of you say to the other person, "I want to understand you," and then you sit back like this with your arms folded, scowling at them. And even if you do understand them, they don't feel understood because of what you're communicating through your body language. I have to be super careful about this, because I inherited something from my dad and he inherited from his dad. It's these two wrinkles in my forehead. My resting face has two wrinkles in my forehead. This is true. It looks like I'm constantly angry. Constantly. The other day I was at a wedding, I was doing a wedding, I was preparing for it, and the groom's dad walked up to me before. He said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I always look mad. It's just the way it is." But I've had to be very careful with this. And so when I meet those of you who are coming in for the first time here at Hoboken Grace, one of the things that I work very hard on is to raise my eyebrows. I actually work at this. I work at this. Why? Because it communicates something to you. If you walk in and you meet me with my regular standing face, you think, "This guy's miserable. I don't know what's wrong with him. Why is he always so mad?" I have to work at it. You have to do the same thing inside of your relationships. And you need to be honest with one another. You need to be honest. When you do that, it doesn't make me feel like you care about what I'm saying. It doesn't make me feel like you're listening. There was one guy who attended a couple of years ago here at Hoboken Grace. And some of you are like this. I just can't look at you when I speak. I just look past you. I move on because you scare me when I look at you because of your body language. But this guy was this way. He would come, and every Sunday he'd sit. He'd sit right in the middle, which was the worst. He'd sit right in the middle, and he'd sit back and cross his arms and scowl at me. And I used to think as I was speaking, "This guy hates me. He hates everything about me. He hates everything I'm saying." And then one Sunday he comes out to me afterwards. He's like, "Man, that was incredible. I just love the conversations." I said, "You do a really bad job of telling me that." But you need to be honest about that, and you need to pay attention to it. Why? Because it's not just about understanding. It's also about the other person knowing that they're understood and communicating that. You also need to practice understanding and seeking out safe places for understanding to happen. In other words, there are unsafe environments to try to understand one another, especially when it comes to difficult conversations and things that you're working through. Text is a really bad way to be understood. If you're working through something where you want to understand the other person or you want to be understood, don't do it through text. It's terrible. You're not going to be understood. The phone is a terrible way to be understood. Terrible. It's a terrible way to be able to understand. So don't try to have that conversation that way. Late at night is usually a bad setting to be understood, a bad setting for listening. You typically are not able to engage the other person well. In public is a really bad setting. It's not a safe environment for understanding. When your friends are around, you care more about winning than thriving. or you try to move through it too fast. No, I understand. As opposed to actually understanding. You have to try to create safe environments for understanding. But early on, when Anna and I got married, another thing that she taught me about myself is that when I get into conflict, I move away from the other person. So when I'm in the midst of conflict, I slowly begin to move across the room. I back away from the other person. And so we'll begin the conversation on one side of the room, and by the end of it, I'm on the other side of the room, and she's, and there's, I create distance in the midst of conflict. I didn't know that I did it, but I do it. She taught me about it. She's very wise. But, and as we were working through that, she said, this doesn't make me feel like you care about understanding me. Like you love me. It feels like you're trying to get away from me. And so we said, we want to create a safe environment for understanding to take place. So she came up with an idea. She said, why don't we, when we get into conflict, why don't we hold hands? Now, I already told you a couple weeks ago how I feel about holding hands. But she said, why don't we try this? I said, okay, we'll try it. What we found is it's amazing how physical touch impacts how you feel about someone. It's amazing. You wouldn't believe how hard it is to yell at someone whose hand you're holding. And more importantly than that, there was something about when we took one another's hand that all of a sudden it went to, oh, no, wait, I love you. And all that feeling of being wrapped up in whatever it is that we're talking about, it changed because it was, oh, no, wait, we're on the same team. Oh, no, wait, we're in this together. Oh, no, wait, I want to understand you. You want to create safe environments for that and acknowledge and understand that there are some unsafe environments for that. So if you find yourself out and you're in the midst of conflict, to be able to say to one another, hey, listen, this is not a safe environment. I'm not going to be able to understand you well, but I know that we're going to be together tomorrow for lunch. Can we come back to this? Don't look at the other person and say to them, hey, listen, let's talk about this later. That's code for, I never want to talk about this again. And that's how they feel. But to look at the other person and say, this is not a safe environment for understanding. I want to understand you. Can we talk about this tomorrow when we're together? Or I know that we've got a date planned next week. Can we walk through this in a situation where I can really understand what it is that you are trying to communicate and what you're feeling and what's happening here? Because I want to understand you. Jesus steps into our lives, and he shifts the way that we understand love. Our vision of love is so messed up when it comes to understanding. We expect magical understanding. We assume magical understanding. And our relationships are filled with misunderstanding. And Jesus steps in. And he goes to unfathomable lengths for you to know that you're understood. And he shows us, this is what love looks like. This is what love looks like. It's time to shift our vision. To take hold of a larger vision, a better vision of what love is. To step into one another's lives so that we can both understand and for them to know that they're understood. For us to love those around us. that we have so powerfully been loved. In the way that we have so powerfully been loved. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for how you have loved us. It still continues to astound me that you cared to understand. It doesn't make sense to us because our vision of love just doesn't look like that. I pray that today as we come face to face with the truth of how you've loved us, that it would change the way that we love each other. That we would begin to walk into the lives of those around us and see understanding. That's one of the really powerful ways that we get to love. And I pray that through that, we'd be able to demonstrate your love to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.